always blessed and encouraging to be able to come together as we have this opportunity to do so. If you're willing and desire to, I encourage that you open up your Bibles as we go throughout the lesson this evening. We're going to be starting in Romans chapter 1 to start our lesson off. Romans chapter 1 and reading verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. As it reads here, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." As we go forth every day that God has blessed us with life on this earth, we are given opportunity to shine His light, opportunity to continue to spread the Word of God, to go and teach, to extend the Lord's invitation to others, and to stand up for what He has told us. And as we obey the gospel, we make known that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We make it known that in doing so, we believe in the words in which are given to us in the Bible. And so therefore, as we continue in it, it's something that we should not be ashamed of. So to make a few points this evening on not being ashamed of the gospel. Again, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so therefore, it's something we shouldn't be ashamed of. But the world today tries to make us ashamed of the Word of God. The world today tries to make us be afraid to stand up and teach the truth, and afraid and ashamed of what the Word of God has to say. Many things that they try to make us be ashamed of to say that certain things are sin. And we should not be ashamed of the Word of God as we go forth and say the gospel, and many want to take that just into the account of the life of Christ. But the Word of God is the Bible. And as we have it, we are not to be ashamed of it. We're not to be ashamed of what God has said, thou shalt not do. And if you do it, it is sin. And so therefore, we have to be willing to stand where the Bible stands. And so if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and in verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." As it brings out this, though, the unrighteous. Here pointing out that you cannot be part of God's kingdom if you are practicing such actions. And yeah, I'm telling you, the world today will try to make us feel ashamed to be saying, "Well, I believe in a God that would punish someone who is happy and in love, but living in an adulterous life, but living in a homosexuality life, but living as thieves, or that they are greedy, but you know, they are happy and that they, you know, use what God has blessed them with." They try to make us ashamed of standing and saying what this verse says, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, and here it reads similar to the point of listing off these sins that are not part of the Lord's kingdom. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and looking at verse 19, as it reads here, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelers, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Sit here and say that they are works of flesh. Stand up and say that they are not works of the Spirit, that they do not have part with God. Again, some of the things we get caught up in looking at and say, "Well, what's so bad about, you know?" Again, jealousy, fits of anger, envy. We always start to list the higher rank of sin to the lower ranks of sin. But here it's saying these things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Are we ashamed to stand up and say that is sin? Are we too afraid and ashamed to stand up and say that I believe if you don't repent of such things that you will not inherit the kingdom of God? As we're all along with what sin is sin, then we have to make sure we know that there's false teaching. There's wrong directions in which people can go. That you can fall under false teachings. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by the fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And so here again, it brings out that we have to know that there are false teachers, there are false prophets, therefore there are false churches. So many would get caught up in being ashamed to say, well, you know, I can't stand and say that people that follow a false teaching, that don't teach the truth of salvation, that do not teach that there's one body of Christ, it is, you know, I can't say that they're going to heaven. But what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible tell us? Again, I'm not saying we go around and we be rude and we be arrogant and we be mean to other people, but we have to stand for the Word of God. And when people come and ask you because of your faith, that you are ready to give an answer. Not ashamed to stand up for what you believe. Because as we look at these false prophets, these false teachers, again, they go about, and that some who come among you, those who are already out there, and there are brethren who are out there waiting for someone to teach something that is against the Word of God so that they can continue in a path of sin. That's what we read in 2 Timothy 4. That there are those who have itching ears and that they will seek out teachers for themselves that will teach that it is okay. Are we afraid to say that there is a hell? That those who practice such things, not only will they miss out on the inheritance of Christ and entering into the kingdom of heaven, but the liars and the cowards and the unbelievers and the adulterers and the homosexuals and the idolaters will be cast into a lake of fire that burns with brimstone. Again, so many get caught up and we want to focus on God's love, Christ's love, and it's a very important point, very important things that we never, never need to forget about. But they feel like that the love counteracts that point that those who are continuing sin are going to be cast into hell. And that's not so. It's because of God's love, because God is just, because God does what He says He does, that there still has to be a punishment for those who do not repent and turn to the Lord. Are we ashamed to teach on these things? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? But not only that, but that we are not ashamed to tell the truth, ashamed to speak what is right, what we need to do according to the Word of God, according to the gospel. Ashamed to speak up and say that there is only one body, one faith. Turn along with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and you read with me starting in verse 1, it says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope, in the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There's only one. As we walk according to the faith that we have taken, that we have been given, walk according to the Spirit, then we understand that there is only one church. Not one congregation, but one true kingdom. One body of Christ, universal.
That we are all connected. That's why when we talked about fellowship this morning in Bible class, that is going beyond just coming together here in a building, but the fellowship is the unity that we have in Christ, that we be one as God and Christ are one. Because Christ is to dwell in our hearts and our minds. And we follow His will. And so therefore, we should not be ashamed to say there is only one faith. Only one teaching which Jesus taught to His apostles. And as they went out to all the world, that they taught the same one thing. They did not contradict one another as they went forth teaching. Paul teaching different than what Peter taught. Peter teaching different than Luke. And Luke teaching different than others and Philip. And as they went out, they taught the same. There's only one way. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and reading here in verse 12 it says, "And there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Again, bringing out the oneness. Only one Savior. No other name can we be saved by. So therefore, if I go out and I say I think I want to do things a little bit different, I'm not going to change things too much. I'm going to add a little bit here. We don't have to follow these things over here. Give it a new title for the building. I can claim that we're doing this in the name of the Lord. If it's not according to the way He has instructed us to do it, it's not according to the one path that He has given us. And that is what the denominations have done. They have changed the Word of God. They've added to it. They've taken away from it. They've changed the name of His body. And so therefore, they are not built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They are not built on that confession that Peter had made that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are we ashamed to sit there and say that there's truly a plan for salvation? That there are steps that must be taken in order for one to be saved? Are we going to sit here and when someone says, "Well, God sent His Son to die for us and therefore everyone's saved," and allow that to just be taught and ignore what they say there? Are we going to allow people to go forth and just say, "As long as you believe and have faith that you can be saved"? Or are those who want to say, "As long as you were saved once, and now you're always saved"? Are we ashamed to stand up and say, "That's not what the Bible says"? Are we like, it's easy to get caught up and just nod our head. Been there, done that. It's easy to get caught up and just, I don't want to get into it today. It's easy to say, "Well, there's a lot of people around, so I'm not going to." But here they are proclaiming their faith to you. Why don't you have the right to proclaim your faith to them? They're not ashamed to share what they believe. Are you ashamed to share what you believe? That one must believe, but not only believe after they've heard the Word of God, that they have to act upon that faith and repent of their sins, that they have to be willing to confess their faith, that one has to be baptized, immersed in the water, raised up as the resurrection, in the likeness of the resurrection of Christ, in order to have forgiveness of sins. Are we willing to stand up and say that? And say, "Well, if you were just simply anointed or sprinkled or had water poured over your head when you were an infant, how did you believe at that time?" So one must believe in order to be saved. So how could you have been saved if you could not believe? You could not understand the words, understand the teachings that you have in the Word of God. Are we ashamed to stand up and teach these things? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, to make it known that we can't. We simply can't go beyond what God has given us here. It says, "I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another." point out, say, you've added to the scriptures. Here, you're going beyond because you don't have anywhere in the scriptures a book, chapter, and verse to show us that it's okay to go that direction. But I can show you where it tells us that we can't go that direction. And so when it comes down to it, are we too ashamed to acknowledge our Lord and Savior? Because when it comes down to these are His words. These are what He taught to His apostles. This is the Holy Spirit teaching them what He has sent them to teach. Because again, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He said, I must go in order that I can send the Helper. Father was already planning it, but Jesus had been given all authority, so Jesus is the one to send. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, that we have to be willing to confess our faith, willing to acknowledge our faith and our belief in who our Savior is and what His teachings are. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 32, as it says here, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. We have to be willing to confess our faith. And it says this time and again throughout the Word of God. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you read along with me here in verse 11. It says, the same is trustworthy. If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we also will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Again, if we walk with Him, He is there with us. But if we deny Him, and understand, if we are sitting there and people are asking of our faith and we're not willing to give that answer, how's that not denying it? How's that not standing up for our Lord and Savior? That is who He is. That is His teachings. This is His church. You deny His church, is it not denying Him? If we deny His teachings, is it not denying Him? I believe in Christ, but not what He had to say. Not what He sent His apostles to teach. First John chapter 2. Read along with me here, starting in verse 21. It says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. We have to be willing to confess our faith, to call upon the name of the Lord. And to call upon the name of the Lord is more than just saying that one statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it's to walk in the path that He has set for us. It is to continue faithfully until the end, that path that He has set for us. So I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here this evening and you are not ashamed of the Lord, you're not ashamed to acknowledge and let it be known to everyone here that you believe everything that you've been taught through the Scriptures, that you understand that Jesus is the Son of God, you understand that you have sinned and fallen short, therefore you need the blood of Christ in order to wash your sins away. And don't be scared. Come forward. Make that confession. Let it be known that you are going to repent of your sins and turn to God and be immersed, be baptized, and through your faith, reaching the blood of Christ, allowing God to wash your sins away. If you're here this evening and we can assist you in anything else, if we can help by praying for you, if you have publicly sinned and fallen short, you want to be known to the brethren that you have put that sin behind you, you prayed God for forgiveness, and you'd like the help of the brethren to continue in that repentance, let us know what we can do to assist you. If you will, let it be known as we stand and sing.